that God is real cruel to you because he allows suffering. How are you going to learn anything? You think that you're going to learn patience and endurance and all of that by just shouting and dancing and all that? It's not going to happen like that all the time. God's going to have to take you through something so that a change can come in your life. See, some of you would never be humble unless you have some trouble. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. My lesson says in verse 3, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in the lewdness of the flesh, drunkenness, reveling, drunken parties, abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them to the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. As we look at these two, we see that it's not only about suffering, but it's also about what people think of you. So let me give you an outline title for this one. It's what others think of you. It's what others think of you. Number one, we deal with this, but it's what others think of you. How they view you. Say it one more
time, God is good. We thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google+ or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
It's gonna be alright.
This is KAYT Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be alright. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful and blessed name of Jesus. Lord, now we turn our attention to your word. And we pray that you would give to us individually and then collectively the meaning that you desire for us to understand. We thank you for the Holy Ghost and his ability to explain your word. We thank you for his presence and his power. Now, Lord, allow him to penetrate our hearts, our minds, and our spirits that we might receive this truth today. And then transform us. Make us what you'll have us to be, and we'll be ever so careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray, and all who love him said, amen. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. 2 Kings, chapter 5. And I want us to commence reading at verse 8. And the word of the Lord says, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. For just a little while this morning, I want to talk about a miracle in muddy waters. A miracle in muddy waters. Oh, my brother, my sister, how we have passed up blessings that we were unable to see because we focused on the natural rather than the supernatural. This story we have before us is a very interesting story because there's a lot that interplays in this picture and scenario for us to understand. The greatest lesson, however, is of that of obedience. When the Lord says something, he means what he says, and he says what he means. And when we align ourselves with what he says, we can expect to receive the promise. Here in this story, it's interesting, when we start off at the beginning, the Bible says, Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. He was the king's right-hand man. God had given over into his commandment men who went out and strategically won battles. And so this king honored him as an honorable man, a great man of valor. But there was a problem. The man had leprosy. And leprosy was a disease that was incurable. It was a disease that, as it continued to progress, continued to, in many ways, cause the body to go through changes. There was agonizing pain and burning, etc., etc. So it was an agonizing time for the one who had leprosy. The king honored him and revered him as a great and mighty man of battle. It was because of this man's ability to see and to strategize that this king was safe, and his army expanded to other areas and captured other provinces, etc. So the king gave to this man a great place at his side. But the Bible says, again, he was a leper. Now, it doesn't matter who you are and what you do when you have a situation that ends up, but he was a leper. It downplayed the future of these events that he had already in the past accomplished, being able to be accomplished again, because his situation was a continual situation that was breaking down and deteriorating. So he knew that it wouldn't be long before he would lose this great and mighty man. But the word says, verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria,
for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiments. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And that might not have made a whole lot of sense to a whole lot of you, but it did to this king. Because see, you've got to understand, this one king is sending a letter and he's requesting that this other king of Israel, the king of Syria, is requesting that the king of Israel heals his servant. The truth of the matter was that the king didn't have power to heal. The king, according to reference, was not a holy man, a godly man. He didn't have powers. That's why he refers back that, am I God that I can heal a man? He figured that this was a setup because he never healed a man of leprosy in his life. He knew that this was wrong. He was requesting of him to do something that he knew he couldn't do. Upon him not being able to fulfill the request, then he felt like that was going to be a signal or sign for them to have a reason to attack Israel. So he saw it in a whole nother arena, and he himself was upset. Now it would have seemed like he would have looked at this thing another way, but when you're looking at the fact that the Syrian army was a great army, a mighty army, that they had powers and men that would be able to destroy cities the size of Jerusalem and Israel and all of these and nations like this, it was a strange thing that he would make a request, but the king didn't understand the circumstances around that. When these people had gone in and taken by force the people and the inhabitants of the city, one little woman who was a maid of Naaman's wife had heard about the situation of Naaman and said, oh, there is a man of God back in the city I come from. And if you could just get them together, I know he can heal him. So she's thinking about Naaman, and the king writes the letter to the other king because it's proper protocol. So the king, unfamiliar about this thing, is stressing out about it. He's disturbed about it, but it just so happened that the man of God was in Samaria that time. And so he heard that the king had been stressed. He rent his clothes, and that was a sign of great mourning and of great agony. And so he sent word to the king, what's wrong? And the king tells the story that this man has sent to me a letter requesting that I heal his servant. Now this is his personal servant and or man of war. He's important to him. He's important to their kingdom. And so he sends a letter, and he sends, listen at this, 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 changes of clothes with the man as a gift to him. Now, if it were not enough just for the request, he sent a mighty nice gift to him to help him take care of the business. So listen at this now. He's disturbed about it, and the prophet, the man of God, hears about it. So Elisha says, don't worry about it, king. Send him to me, which was the point all the while. But the king didn't know it. So he sends Naaman to the king, to Elisha's house. So the king is excited about the fact that Naaman intercedes in these situations and takes over the situation to handle it for him, because he knew he had an impending war on his hands. So he comes to Elisha's house. And when he gets there, he doesn't have the fanfare that he thought he was going to have.
Nobody came out and worshiped him as a great military strategist. No, nobody came over there and made over him like he was all of that. And you know, folk who come looking for a blessing sometimes come looking bigoted. And you can't look for a blessing being bigoted. You got to learn how to humble yourself when you are seeking a blessing. So he comes up there in all of his majesty and all of his glory and all of his valor. And he wants the man of God to come out there and almost worship him. But the man of God sees him out there and he calls his servant. He said, come here. Tell him go down to Jordan and dip 7 times and he'll be clean. It's all in scripture. And Naaman said, wait, let me get this right. He doesn't even come out and greet me. He doesn't say anything to me. He humiliates me by sending a servant to talk to me, and I've traveled all of this way to see him. Get it right, Naaman. That's right. You traveled to see him. He's getting upset about this thing because the river that he tells him to go and dip himself 7 times in is the worst river that any man would even want to be in. It was like the muddy Mississippi River. The Mississippi, it wasn't a river that, you know, was esteemed, and it wasn't a great river. He had to pass 2 great rivers, and he's saying these are rivers that ran from the melting snows from up in the high mountains where the waters were clear and fresh. These were rivers that were so beautiful that people desired to wash in these rivers and to bathe and to relax themselves. Why could he not send me at least to a better river than the Jordan River? But I want you to look at this thing, because here are some things that we need to see. When you are looking for a miracle, when you are seeking a miracle, you cannot set the conditions of the miracle. I need you to understand that when you go to God and you're saying, God, I need this. God, I need the other. Lord, I need you to do this. Well, when you put it in his hands, you cannot tell him how he must do it and how he must act or how he must respond. And so, you know, the problem is when you're used to giving orders, you don't know how to take orders sometimes. He was used to giving orders, so he figured he would tell the man of God what he wanted or tell him what he did not want. He said, listen at this word. I love this. The Bible says again, verse 11, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought. See, that was the problem. He had this thing fixed in his own head according to his own will. Sometimes, you know, we've got to understand God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And his ways are not our ways. And as high as the heavens are above the earth, so is he above us. So when we come to God's will, we need to leave our thinking out of it. Because most times it's our thinking that's got us in the mess we're in anyhow. Look at what he said. I thought he will surely come out to me. I just thought he was going to come out and greet me as the custom was. I thought he was going to come and show me the courtesies of being not just a visitor, but being an esteemed visitor. He knew I was coming because he requested for me to come see him. Listen at this now. He says, I thought he would come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God. Listen at this. And strike his hand. Now you know what he wanted, don't you? See, some people gonna miss their blessings because they're looking for a show. Y'all ought to hear me here. Some folk think you got to put on a show. Oh, we got to put on this big production for you to be healed. You have to have this big production, go through this great, as my grandmother say, miration about this and that and the other. It don't take all of that. Sometimes you can speak a word and by faith God will do it. Sometimes that may be a need for the laying on of hands, but the word is so powerful that God has already said he sent his word to heal them and to deliver them from all their destructions. Sometimes it's just a word. And in this case, that's all it was a word. But it was a word that was sent through a messenger. So listen at this. Can I tell you the word is the word is the word. And the word is not diluted even though it is sent from one messenger to another. Listen, the man of God had that power to heal. God had given him that gift, so he had that power to heal. Now listen at this, because this is where a whole lot of you again will miss your blessings. Sometimes you do not need the man of God to come out and put his hands on you. Sometimes you do not need the man of God to come out there and counsel and talk straight with you. If he has anointed that word to do the healing, he can send it through whomever he will, because the messenger is just carrying the message. Listen to me now. Listen to me. His messenger took the message to Naaman. Go dip yourself seven times in the Jordan and thou shalt be clean. But he thought he was going to get some ritualistic ceremony. He thought he was going to go through some great act where all of this honor would be given to him and all of this greatness would be done in the ceremony of all of this. Sometimes we tie so much mystical stuff with stuff that ain't necessary. It don't take all, the power ain't in the man. The power is in the word of God. Now, if God has placed the word in the man, that's where the power is. Notice this again, because this is important. Not only are we trying to share with you this situation about Naaman, but we're trying to open up to you so that you might be able to recognize your miracle in muddy waters. Sometime you might be waiting on a blessing. You ain't got to just go to certain places. God has given you a word of healing already. It's a part of the promise and the benefit package that comes with being saved. But you've got to hear it and know it in your own spirit. You've got to get a rhema word that makes that reality true in your own life. He says, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. I just thought he was going to do all of those things. Now look at what verse says, verse 12 says, are not Abana or Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? He says, I don't care what river you compare in Israel, these two rivers are better than any water they have, any river they have. Why wouldn't he let me go? You know, when people don't want to humble themselves, they can find all kinds of excuses why this ain't right and that ain't right. He started picking apart all of the commandment for him to receive his blessing. Look at what the Bible says again. And he says, may I not wash in them and be clean? Well, let me help answer the question. Yes, you can wash in them, but you won't be clean. And you got some folk who wash, but they don't get clean. You can wash, but the promise was for the healing in the Jordan. Now here's another mystical reality. How can you go into something dirty and come out clean? That goes against natural logic. I mean, if I want to be clean, I get in clean water. You don't get in dirty water hoping to get clean. But see, that's the way God works. That's how different God's principles and God's power is from our thinking. That's how severed his thinking is from the way we think. See, again, the power wasn't in the water. His cleansing wasn't going to come because he was in any body of water. His cleansing was going to come because he obeyed the word. Now look at what the Lord did. He gave him a situation that was beneath him. He gave him something simple. He gave him something that was not in context of what he considered himself to be royal and great and good and all the. He gave him something that he would be, again, he would detest and not even want to do it. And so God knew if he wanted his blessings, it was going to mean he would have to humble himself and come to a point where he surrendered and submitted his will to God's will. Amen. God's going to bless you, but he's going to bless you on his terms. Amen. Some of you want him to bless you, and you want him to bless you the way you want and when you want and how you want, but you don't want to do what he has called you to do for him to do what he said he would do. Some of us are waiting on a blessing, and you will be waiting on your blessing until you line up with the lesson. Do what he says, do simple, and receive what God says. Now the servants are talking to him. They're going, because he's upset, he goes away. Bible says he turned and went away in a rage. That's where a whole lot of folk go when they don't get their way and don't get what they want. I know some saints like that. When they can't have their way, they turn and go away in a rage. But I'm here to tell you, you can go away in a rage, but your blessing is still where God said it is. And it's not until you come back to yourself and come back into the will of God that you're going to receive your blessings. Now look at this here, because these are some folk around him that help him to reason. Verse 13 said, and his servants came and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now, there were some folk around him that saw his arrogance and his bigoted attitude who ministered to him. And I thank God for folk that have good sense around you. Because there are times, and listen, and can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when you fly off in a rage, you don't think right. You don't talk right. You don't act right. But if there are people around you that's got good sense, you ought to thank God for them. Because they have sense enough to see some things that your rage has blinded you to, that your rage has caused you to become insensitive to. So the servants came near him and began to minister to him. Now, wait a minute. Now, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, because he's a great man, you would have done that. In other words, if the prophet had said, do some hard thing, something that was unusual, something that was deep, you would have done that. But sometimes God confounds us with simple things, little things. We miss God many times, not in the great big old things, but in the very little things he tells us to do. We miss our blessings because we're looking for some great big old monstrosity of an order from God, when God just makes it so simple and plain and says, do this, say this, go here, go simple. But we can't get beyond ourselves to see God. So after they talked to him, ministered to him, he went down to the Jordan. But what Naaman didn't realize was he passed all of these rivers traveling and journeying into this country. And the need of Naaman was so great that the intensity of his miracle was at hand. Now, let me tell you what I'm trying to say here. Some of us defer our miracle because we can't understand what God is doing. He asked the question, could he not go back to the two rivers of his own country and bathe in them? It was a long journey back there. He came there in pain, in leprosy, filled with this dreaded disease, traveling there in hopes of being healed. Why would he defer his blessings until he got all the way back to his own country when he came to be healed there? The man of God was saying, on your way back home, there is a river, though it is muddy. If you'll stop by there, you can get your blessings before you get back home. And a whole lot of times we don't understand what God has for us. He has it for us now. But our disobedience keeps him from opening up the blessings and pouring them out on us, because we cannot understand nor comprehend what God is trying to do in helping us to see who it is that truly has all power in his hand.